Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. Good to be here. Happy Mother's Day once again. I read a story this morning. The little boy went in to buy something for his mother. He went into the ladies' department. The store clerk asked him, said, "Well, son, you're going to have to tell me what size your mama is." He said, "She's perfect." She said, "Well, what size?" That's good that she is, but I don't know what size that is. She picked out a good medium. And a few days later, there's a lady came back in and needed a double extra large, and she said, "I need to exchange this. I'm the perfect mama." So the little boy had it right. Listen, it's what's in your heart. And it's rare that I preach a theme on, say, Father's Day. I'll preach on hell, or it's just however it comes. I don't never know. But today I've actually got a message concerning someone's mother. Exodus chapter number 2. I'll begin in verse 22 of chapter 1. I'm going to read down through verse 10. Good to have everyone here today, and especially those that are with their... We got about a third of our people that are somewhere else with their mothers, and some of you showed up here today to be with your mom, and we're glad to have you here. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house. Exodus chapter number 1, verse 22. I'll continue down through Exodus 2 and verse number 10. If you found that, shout amen for me. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him, and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, Because I drew him out of the water. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day and for this time and the good people that have come out this morning. God, humbled before this crowd today, the least of those here, God, but the lot has fallen on me. I pray you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of this book. I spent time with you, Lord. I've read, I've prayed, I've studied, I've sought you. I pray, God, now you do what only you can do. Do it through me, God. I am inept. I cannot do one thing on my own, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I pray that you would save to the uttermost today. God, stir the hearts of those under the sound of my voice, and bless for your sake. We'll praise you for all you do in the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. We don't find her name here. This is interesting to me. I begin to think about this, and Moses is writing this account, and he leaves the name of his own mother out. It's later described over in chapter 6 and verse number 20. You're going to find something interesting about her. She's not only Amram, Moses' father. She's not only his wife, but she's also his aunt. So he is married. You'll find, I'm not making something up. You can find it. Study your Bible. You can find it. And so it wasn't uncommon in that day. You remember Abraham married his half-sister. So they kept the bloodline very close in those days. This is pre-law. The law hasn't been given yet. So there's nothing against this. God has sanctioned this. He's blessed it to keep the tribe within the tribe. Here you're going to find these. You're going to find this account. You're going to find Jochebed is a slave. She's born in a particularly difficult time in the land of Egypt, and as a Hebrew, she is a foreigner in this land. She's an alien. She doesn't belong here. God has had this family, this tribe, these people, the Hebrew, here for a specific time to do a specific thing. They started with few in number. Now they're a mass multitude. God is growing them up. Though we can look back and see it now, don't you know in this day, Jochebed's thinking, my, this is a difficult time. Then we have a Pharaoh comes on the scene who knows nothing about Joseph. He doesn't understand how they were delivered through the Hebrew. How many know that, praise God, through the Jewish community, we have a Savior named Jesus today? If you're an anti-Semite, friend, you're on the wrong team. Stump right there. That's all right. Jochebed is born in a difficult time. So now, God is doing something in her life. Now comes this edict. Here comes the law from the Pharaoh of the land that said in verse 22, every child, every boy that's born is going to be cast into the river, but if it's a girl, you can let her live. How many knows the blood comes from the dead? So here we have a not an ideal situation, if you would. Lo and behold, she finds herself with child again. She already has a daughter. That's the one down by the riverbank here. She has a 3-year-old son by the name of Aaron. You can research your Bible and find that. Now she finds herself with child again, but the problem now is every child that's going to be born is going to be cast into the river if it be a male. They didn't have CTs and all the things that they got now, the ultrasound, that's the word I was looking for. They didn't have all those things. Hey, they do these big reveal parties now. They blow pink stuff up, blue stuff up to show whether it's a girl or boy. In the dark ages, they had to wait and see. The dark ages weren't that long ago, I'll just tell you. So here, don't you know, at the time of this birth, she's thinking, let it be a girl. But God had a plan. God had a plan. Ideally, on this side of the page, we would think, my, let it be a girl. We won't have to worry about anything. But God said, hey, when I'm in charge, you don't have to worry anyhow. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Now let the boy be born. He was born. And now, we see a few things concerning this mother. We see, number one, that it was this. It was divine favor of God that this child was born. In a stressful time, a difficult time, not the ideal time. Who knows? In our eyes, what we think is ideal is never ideal. Hey, here it is. It's divine favor. At the time when Pharaoh's trying to kill the seed of the Hebrew, it's like the devil. He typifies the devil. The devil's standing in Revelation 12 when the woman's about to birth the child and he's standing there wanting to kill her. This is like Pharaoh here. He's wanting to kill the seed. He wants to stop the lineage. Ah, but God's in control. And this baby's born, and the devil can't do nothing about it. It's divine favor. Number two, why do you call it that? Because in Acts 7 and 20, when Stephen's preaching, he says this about the baby: it is a goodly child. That means beautiful unto God. He was quite the looker. I'm just going to tell you, all babies aren't perfect unless they're yours. There's one Colin Nathaniel McCoy down in Birmingham, Alabama, that I don't think no baby's ever looked as good as that one. That'd be my first grandchild, Brother Jim. But this child, even Colin couldn't have compared to Moses because he was goodly in the sight of God. God had a plan for this man. He's the deliverer. It's the divine favor of God in a stressful situation when things didn't look good and it didn't look like it could work out. God sent a man. You still with me? It's not only divine favor, but we're going to find this. We're going to see that back in verse 22, when this child is born, look, he has a doubtful future. Now, here's what they said. If you have a male child, cast it in a river. Now, the river is a dangerous place. Not many natural-born swimmers. And if they are, they're crocodile bait. And it's bad. It's a bad place. And if you see a man child, look, he tells his people to cast the Hebrew man child in the water. He's born at a time when he has a doubtful future. Number three, we see this. We see what she done, though. We see a decision of faith. Do you know, catch this, do you know that she done what the law of Pharaoh required and she put him in the river? She put him in the river. She just didn't put him in there by himself. Oh, God. She didn't put him in there by himself. I wonder how many babies have been cast in that river. I read a book one time, The Bible Makes Us Baptist. And you'd have to get the history on that to understand the terminology there, to what that is. It's a good read. It's an old book. And here's what happened during the time that the Catholics were persecuting the Protestants. They had them marching in a line one time. I forget where the Rhine, what river it was, but they were marching up beside this river, and this Protestant baby began to cry, and the guard came and grabbed him by the leg and hurled him right out in the middle of that freezing river and said, "That's what you do with Protestant babies." And the mama could only stand there and watch the child sink, and the cry was muffled. I wonder how many babies Jochebed might have seen or heard of during the time this had been gone, that they had taken that child and cast him into the river until the water silenced his cry. It's a stressful time. She's got a baby, and she looks on him, and when she sees this child, she says, "There's something about this baby. There's something special about this child. He don't look like no regular child." You do a research on that name. She's not even named him yet, by the way. He's just a goodly child. But in Hebrews 11:23, Brother Alvy Ward and I are talking about this for church this morning. And the Bible said in Hebrews, you're going to get a little better picture of what transpires here. And it says, by faith. By faith, she's about to do something with this baby. By faith, she took for him an ark. You'll find it in Hebrews 11, verse 23. So here we have a decision of faith. It's by faith that she took for him an ark. I'm trying to quit using that phrase. I chewed on this for a while. But farm people know what that means. They understand what cows do. But the rest just look at you like a deer and a headlight. What do you do? You chew it? I've been meditating, Brother Dave, on this for a while. I've been thinking about this verse. I thought, God, I don't know which road to take. This could go a thousand ways here. And I'm unsure of what you'd want to do. I want you to think about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Not everyone had a good mother or has a good mother. It's sad. But the Bible said one of the signs of it being the last days, according to the Scripture, is this: they'll be without natural affection. That's where we're at today. We got mamas that care far more for themselves than they care about their children. Here's the reality. Hey, when you choose to have a baby, you just become number two. There's somebody that's going to take priority in your life. And it may look like it's not such a blessing right now, but let me tell you, down the road, it's going to be the blessing of your life. And here, so this is a very sharp contrast to many modern day American women. This woman's doing anything she can to preserve her child. She's not like a court that would stand and applaud killing a baby at its birth. But that's the way the Egyptian was. The Egyptian would have fit in wonderfully with modern day American law. They'd have been applauding that. They just threw them in the river. Jochebed said, this child's worth saving. Could tell you, I'll go on the media today, on the internet, on the podcast, on whatever other kind of avenue we have to get the word out, and tell you I'm pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. I'm anti-killing babies. That don't mean I hate you if you're a baby killer. It just means I disagree with you strongly. And I pray that the Holy God of heaven would come by and visit your heart. And it would change your mind. Because I want you to ask yourself a question. What if they'd have killed you? You can understand I'm not very politically correct. Here she is. This baby's worth saving. What am I going to do to save the child? Number one, this is all concerning the ark. Stay with me. If I've lost some of you, I'm sorry that's occurred. Number one, I want us to consider this, the preparing of the ark. She says, I'm not going to put him out there by himself. God, help me right there, Lord. That's good. He can't make it on his own. Let me tell you, these are two strong young men right here. But you know what, Mama? They can't make it on their own. Oh, Bray, Carter, Jared, you know what about them? They can't make it on their own. They got to have somebody. You know what she's going to do, Brother Randy? She's going to prepare an ark. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. She's a slave without much money. She has meager means. How in the world is this woman going to get the stuff? And how is she going to prepare this ark for the saving of her child? How is this going to happen in the house of a slave? Bible doesn't tell us. I believe we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and it's by faith. I don't know where she got that paper. Do you know what this bulrush means? It means papyrus. It's the same thing, Brother Jim, that they used. They would take these reeds, they would roll these things out, they'd beat them out, then they'd rub some stuff on them and they'd lay them out in the sun and it would begin to dry, and then they'd roll it up, and that's what they wrote on. They also lined their vessels. They took small vessels and they would line the sides with this, and then they'd put this stuff on and then they'd be able to float. But what ultimately this papyrus was, these bulrushes was, it was this. It was stuff that was written on to communicate to the people. cords ahead of me. It was something written to communicate to the people. How are they going to make it, Jimmy? Praise God, it starts. It starts with something written to communicate to the people. We see a picture of this in this bull rush here. It says this. Hey, that's a type. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Word of God. You want to put your child in something that's going to enable them to survive this world that's anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian? You want to put your child in something? Let God bring them to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let them hear you read the Word at home. Let them see your Bible open and put them in the Word. We'll put them on the baseball field. We'll put them in dance class. We'll put them in Zumba, Zumba. We'll put them in everything this world has to offer. That will fail. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. One old man was, he was late 60s. Say, that's not old. Let me tell you, you get in the late 60s, you're old. They can say the 60s, the new 40. That's a lie. You're still 60. And the Bible said you got 70. Every day after 70 is grace. Hallelujah. The old man was late in life, got saved, Brother Johnny. He had 3 boys. He had never taken them to church, never introduced them to the Word of God, never had anything for the Word, the Lord. And all of a sudden now he's saved. The God of this world has failed, and the God of heaven has opened his eyes. Now he sees what being saved really means, and he says, "Oh my, what about the children?" And the old preacher said, "You sort of thought about that when there's babies." Man, isn't it a glorious sight to see these babies running up here dropping that change? I like it when they high-five me coming by. You can't make it on your own. We can't have them here. We can't give them 45 minutes on Sunday morning and expect the world not to influence them for the rest of the hours of the week. And to the shame of many daddies, myself included, in our youth, in our days of foolishness, had it not been for a mama having a burden for the baby, like Jochebed, that says, "I'm going to put this baby in something other than the water." The pitch and the slime, here's what my research showed me. The pitch is one thing. The slime is a mud containing molecular ore. And you know what they use that thing in Egyptian days? In embalming. So not only is it something written, it's putting on a... This thing began with something that they write on, but then they use something that embalms. And you know what embalming does? It preserves. So now we're looking at something that's glory to God. That preserves. Talking about the material of the ark that she's going to put him in. But the pitch is a harder substance. But here's what they said about the pitch. The pitch, it is hard originally, but it is softened by the sun and referred to then as slime. Get them while they're tender. Expose them to the sun, S-O-N, while they're young. Train them up in the way they should go. Let the first song that they know be "Jesus Loves Me." I don't know why Colin heard this first from his pa, but I sung to him first. The first thing he heard me say when I had him in my hand, I whispered in his ear. I said, "Son, let me tell you what was done on a cross.
I wouldn't have God, I'd have told Dusty that at his birth. I missed it with my first son, but praise God, I got it right with my grandson. Let me tell you what was done on a cross. And then the first song he heard me sing was, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and old sinners plunged beneath that blood." I said, "You're going to need this, son. You'll lose all your guilty stains." Praise God, aren't you glad? Hey, how are they going to survive? Wrap them in the Word. Put the pitch around them. The material. There's one thing for her to have the material as a slave. And as a slave, it weren't this. Wasn't 9 to 5, 8 to 4 with an hour lunch break. No, it was daylight to dark and hope you met your quota. Feed yourself and you better be out here in the morning again. Modern day Americans would fall out. Fall out. I had a school teacher tell me this week. I'll not say who she is. I don't want to get her in trouble. But here's what the school teacher said. When you ask the children in junior high today what they're going to do when they get out of school, they say, "I'm going to draw." I thought she's talking about pictures. They're talking about a check. "I'm going to draw." How are you going to do that if somebody ain't working? God help us. It is one thing for her to have the material for her to have gotten this stuff together. But how's she going to get the time in order to construct this ark? You know how she's going to do it? She's going to miss sleep herself. That's how she's going to do it. She wasn't going to do it during working hours. There was no calling in sick. There were no vacation days, no days off. Friend, when you're a slave, you're there every day, whether you feel like it or not. This is the condition in which she lived. How's she going to do this, Brother Jimmy? She's going to sacrifice in order to have time to put it together. I agree. I think it was, I read so much, I forgot which man I can attribute this to. One said D.L. Moody. I'll use Moody. I've read him so much. "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." They asked the young man that could come forward to be saved. They said, the preacher said, "What did I say tonight that would encourage you to be saved?" He said, "You didn't say anything." He said, "Well, why'd you come forward to be saved?" He said, "Because I've been watching my mama live." Hey, sisters. Don't think you have more influence over your children, and especially in their younger formative years, than anybody upon God's earth. It is you. Jochebed. She is going to take time. She's going to sacrifice herself. She is going to build this ark because he can't make it on his own. The preparing of the ark. Number two, the protection of the ark. What did the pitch and the slime, a type of the Spirit, what did that do? It kept the world out. I thought you're talking about the water. Let me do this. My church people know this. I use it often. The water is represented in three ways in the Word of God. If you find water that washes you, it's speaking of the Word. By the washing of the water by the Word in Ephesians, you're going to find that 5:26. It typifies. When you find water that is washed, when they went to the bowl, the big basin, before they went into the holy place, they had to wash themselves. What does that? That Word of God, you poured some water on us this morning, brother. Hey, it's by the washing water that you drink, and the Word of God typifies the Spirit. You drink that water, it shall flow out of you. Out of them shall come rivers of living water, springing up into everlasting life. That's how we get in, praise God. We're birthed into this thing by the Spirit of God, typifies the Spirit. Thirdly, it's this. Water that you walk on, walk through, ride over, ride in, as it typifies the world. What is this a picture of? typical of the world. She is going to put that child in the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. She needs something to keep the world out. Pitch this thing, typifying the Spirit of God. You know what it done? It kept the world out and kept the baby in. The Holy Spirit, whereof I, you are sealed until the day of redemption. That's a good verse for you, what that is. There it is. There's things in that river that would like to get to a baby. These things like to get to you, babies. Pitch them. Saturate them. Say, I can't do that. You can if they see it in you. When they see it in you, they'll know. They'll follow. They'll yield. They'll hear. They'll listen. The protection of the ark. I want you to notice this. We have that ark put in the world. She prepares the ark. And the ark is there. And then we have protection ark. But the ark's not only there with the baby in it, but somebody's watching it. So you not only have the water that that the child's in, you got somebody off in the distance. And here's what she's doing. I'm watching that ark to see what's going to happen to it. There's somebody watching you today. Praise God. Aren't you glad? The eyes of the Lord are to and fro throughout the whole earth. How's He do that? By the Holy Ghost. That's how He does it. To and fro throughout the entire earth. Here we have the protection of the ark. One more quickly so you can get to Cracker Barrel. You know what we see this mama doing? We can see this mama do the best she can do. That thing's prepared and she knows it'll protect him. But it's not going to do any good if she don't put him in it. We see the placing of the babe in the ark. And she closes the lid on it. How do you know? Because it says they opened it up and she's seen the child. She closes the lid on the baby. Stay here for just a moment. Now we see the placing in the ark, but we see this. We see the faith of this mama, because in Matthew 15 and 28, Jesus said this unto the Syrophoenician woman. He said, "Woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." We find in Hebrews where this is all by faith. This mama by faith takes this child and she don't just chunk him in any place in a river. She knows where to put him. She's going to put him in a place where she knows somebody is going to come. Out there on their own, by themselves, isolated. Listen, we are not to be a people of isolation. No, we can't be that. Come out from among them, be you separated people. Had that in Sunday school this morning. But that's not talking about this. We're in the world, but not of the world. He's not talking about us coming out and ignoring them. No, we've got to be involved with them, or how would we compel them to come in that His house might be filled? We've got to do it. Now, we're not to be unequally yoked together. That's some good teaching this morning. But we're in the same pond. And so we come by them and we say this to them: hey, there's a better way than what you're doing. There's a better end than where you're headed. Nobody has more influence. How many years had it been, Mike Capps, since you'd seen your mother? 13 years? Between 13 and 14 years, Brother Mike Couch had not seen his mother. She lives on the West Coast. Here's some good hillbilly for you. That's a fur piece from here. And he said when he got there and she seen him, she couldn't help but throw her arms around him and rejoice. There's my boy. Now, 13 years, I'll just tell you, we change a little bit in 13 years.
But she hadn't forgot her child. You know what this mama's doing? This is a hard thing to do. Free Will Baptists have a most difficult time with this. Not that other denominations don't. But it's the waiting for God to do what you've asked Him to do. We live in a microwave society. We put it in the oven, pop 30 seconds on there, and it's supposed to be just right. I'm just going to tell you, it's better in a real oven when it takes an hour. We've got so used to that quick stuff, though, that we don't mind it anymore. We don't care if it don't taste good. We just don't want to be hungry. You know what this mama's doing? While that baby's in the place, she's waiting on somebody to find him. Just waiting on someone to find him. And believing that God's going to send the very one by that needs to see him. I've done everything I can do. I've prepared that ark. That ark's going to protect him. And I'm going to place that ark right where it needs to be, that it will do this, that somebody's going to find that child. By faith, somebody's going to find that child and going to bring. And you know where that baby winds up? Right back in mom's arms. Not only back in her arms, but she gets paid to take care of him where she would have had no money before. Now the devil's paying for the rearing of the very one that's going to bring the children out. I had no idea Brother Jim, Sister Wanda's going to be here today. This is how God works full circle. Mother's Day, for 31 years, Mother's Days have been particularly hard on me. And Pat and I used to take vacations. If we was going to plan a trip or something, we planned on Mother's Day, especially after Sister Betty died, because I just really didn't want to be here on Mother's Day. It took me a long time to shake it. I'm not over it 100% now. And I'm talking about something 31 years ago. I think it's unfair. I don't understand it. I blame myself for being out of the will of God. If you're out of the will, you better get in the will. It's better in the will. 31 years down the road, you may be looking back like his preacher is. But Brother Jim held a revival for my Uncle Lyle Ledbetter. Am I right, Brother Jim? At Woody. And Lyle about worked him to death while he's here. He's like some of them preachers I preach for. They come and get you early, bring you home late, and say, "Now, bless the socks off of us tonight. We're counting on you." You don't know something bizarre? I assume Sister Wanda was with you then. I don't know if she was with you or what. She can beat the keys off the piano. So if she was there, she probably played. But you know who played part of the time in that church? My mama. What about that, Dean? Sang with Dean and Mary Jane. All this come rushing to me when we sang Precious Memories today. My dad in my youth wasn't much for building, helping us in the ark. In Hebrews, you would find the account, and it would. In reading the account, it gives credit to both parents. So Amram was instrumental. Maybe he got the stuff for her to build the ark with. I don't know. The account doesn't give us all the details. But my dad wasn't as instrumental in my youth. As a matter of fact, it was the first revival that I preached that my dad rededicated his life to the Lord. Now, my dad got to enjoy my ministry. But my mama never did. But I'll tell you the one that was instrumental in me being where I'm at today. It was my mama. Listen, Mama. If that child's small, there's no one influences that baby like you do. Train that child up in the way he should go. Do you want him to look like MTV? You want her to act like that? You want her to have 15 boyfriends by the time she's 15 years old? How's she going to know any different if you don't train them up in the house of God? You want to be acceptable to anything society puts on the evening news and throws the flag up and said, we passed a law, therefore it must be okay, but it's contrary to the Word of God. How are they going to know? Unless you bring them in here and let a Sunday school teacher that'll teach them out of that book and an old hillbilly preacher preach them the truth. Because they won't know. They won't know. And they won't care. And they'll be in the world of the river, swimming among the crocodiles and fighting for every stroke and thinking they're having a big time. And all of a sudden, the god of this world, who is the devil, will sneak up and slowly drown them. I didn't come to beat mamas up today. I come to brag on mamas. Jochebed, by faith, said, I'm saving this child. And she did. She put him in God's hands. And God done what only God could do. If that woman didn't walk down to that river at that time to take a bath that day and see that baby, what if Moses didn't cry when she opens up that little basket? And that baby, the very moment one preacher said, I believe God pinched him on the leg when she lifted the lid of the basket. What when that baby cried, and she never seen a baby like this baby, he was a goodly child. He was beautiful under the Lord. And there he is, and he cries, and the woman's heart was melted because God gave you a different heart than he did the daddy's. And he was spared. Brother Luke, come get us a song. I'm going to ask you today, as they're getting us a song together, that you stand to your feet. If you need to pray, you need to pray. If you need to pray, Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.